This is Your Life, episode 91. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Is everything you dreamed it would be when the world was younger and you had everything? Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about leadership, success, and accessibility. You know, the more successful you become as a leader, the more other people are going to demand of your time, and as a result, if you're going to maintain any margin in your life for your most important priorities, you're going to have to make some tough decisions about your accessibility. Well, you can find the outline, the resource links, and a complete transcript in the show notes at michaelhyatt.com/91, as in episode 91. I'll be back in a minute with some thoughts on this topic.
If you have something to say or sell in today's noisy world,
now you can get the inspiration, training, and tools you need to increase your influence and impact.
Platform University, a community of like-minded individuals led by one of Forbes magazine's top 50 social media influencers, Michael Hyatt.
Each month, you'll get access to
The Masterclass, where Michael interviews leading platform authorities.
Backstage Pass, a behind-the-scenes look at Michael's own platform business.
Member Makeover, with specific recommendations you can put to work now.
A live Q&A session where you can ask Michael your most burning questions.
And the discussion forum where our members support one another in their common quest.
Hi, this is Ryan Jenkins from ryan-jenkins.com. Participating in the member makeover of Platform University has been a true catalyst in taking my business and platform to a whole new level.
Intrigued? Now it is the time to invest in building your own platform, platformuniversity.com.
Leadership and accessibility, really, really a tough topic, but eventually every leader confronts it. Recently, I was listening to Andy Stanley talk about this very topic, and he said, quote, "The harsh reality of leadership is that the more successful we are, the less accessible we become. As things grow and as more people become involved, a leader can't be equally accessible to all people. So then we are faced with the dilemma of who gets my time and who doesn't. When do they get it, and how much of it do they get?" You know, I think Andy's really framed the problem, because I've really struggled with this as my blog has taken off, and as I've grown in popularity, and as I've tried to meet the increasing needs of people who want more in my time. But here's the deal. Your time is a zero-sum game. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, when you say yes to one thing, you're simultaneously saying no to something else. The more successful you get, the more difficult this becomes. You find yourself saying no to good things, really worthy things, in order to say yes to your most important priorities. For example, a couple weeks ago, I spoke at a writer's conference, and after my speech, at least a dozen people handed me their book proposal or manuscript and asked if I would read it and tell them what I think. And I love helping authors. And there was a time when I would have felt guilty about saying no. I mean, you know, from the perspective of the person who's doing the asking, it's not a big request. But what they usually don't realize is that I get dozens of these requests each week. You probably do too for your time. And to agree to their request would require a major investment on my time. And all these requests together, when you add them up, I'm soon eating up the time that I've allotted for all my other projects and friends and family and even my health. So I just said to each one of the people that were making this request, I said, look, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid that won't be possible. In order to be faithful, and this is what I always say, to be faithful to my other commitments, I have to say no to these kinds of requests. I hope you understand. And the truth is, most people do. But what about you? If you're a leader with more demands than time, you're probably faced with similar situations like this on a daily basis. And what I want to suggest in today's episode is that there are 7 ways you can limit your accessibility, not so that you have to be aloof or arrogant. I'm not suggesting that at all, but so that you can stay focused on what matters most. I mean, most of us would hate to go through life having met everybody else's needs, everybody else's requests, and neglected the things that were truly important, the things that really moved the needle or moved the ball down the field in the things that we've been assigned. So here are 7 ways you can limit your accessibility. Number 1, acknowledge your resources are finite. You know, this is a fact. You've got 168 hours per week, just like I do, no more, no less. Every time you commit to something, you're depleting the available time you have for something else. And your other resources are also limited, including your attention, your money, and your energy. And if you ignore this, it's going to eventually catch up with you. And you're going to pay a high price when it happens. Perhaps an emotional breakdown, a divorce, wayward kids, a business failure, or a health crisis. So you've got to acknowledge your resources are finite. This to me is the beginning of real wisdom in this area. Number 2, determine who needs access and who doesn't. Now, not everyone needs full access to you. You know, as much as you'd like to give everyone equal access, the truth is you don't do this now and you can't do it. They may think they need access, but they don't. Therefore, you've got to prioritize your contacts and your relationships. I had somebody the other day that wanted to meet with me for coffee so they could, quote, pick my brain. But the truth is, they hadn't read my book. They weren't a member of Platform University. They wanted to talk to me about platform-related stuff. And for them, it was more efficient to take an hour of my time than actually invest, you know, several hours of their time reading the book. And I just said, no, I can't do that. You may think you need access to me, but all that I would say to you, I've said elsewhere. So for me, my family and the people I work with daily and my close personal friends, those constitute my inner circle. They get my time first. And remember, once you let people in, it's really hard to ask them to leave without creating misunderstanding or hurt feelings. So you've got to be intentional and determine who needs access and who doesn't. Third way you can limit your accessibility is take practical steps to limit your accessibility. And here are a few things that I do. I use 2 email addresses. I have a private one and a public one. And I monitor the first one, my private one. My assistant monitors the second. And only about 30 people have access to my private address. So if something hits my public account and requires my personal response, then my assistant can redirect it to my private account. But that way, I'm not just flooded with 300, 400 messages a day. There's no way I could possibly keep up with that. And I also follow a limited number of people on Twitter. For example, right now I'm following about 174, and these are the only ones who can direct message me. And it keeps me from getting flooded with spam, which is what my life was like before I unfollowed over 100,000 people. And I'll put a link in the show notes to the article where I talked about that. But I still interact with people in the public space via replies, and you can use those on Twitter. And I think it's even more effective because others can observe and jump in. And oftentimes when I answer one question, other people have had the same question. And so it's actually better than a direct message. I also have a private Facebook profile and I have a public fan page. The first one is for my inner circle, my family, a few others. The fan page is for everyone else. And my accessibility on Facebook is almost identical to my access on Twitter. And I'm pretty rigorous about that. So if you send me a friend request and I blow you off, don't have your feelings hurt. That's really what my public page is for. And I also have LinkedIn, Google Plus, and Pinterest accounts, but I treat them more or less as public accounts. I don't even try to respond to private messages there. So if you've sent me a private message and haven't had a response, that's why. Now, I also have 2 phone numbers, and I have a private one and I have a public one. And recently I had to change my private one because somehow it got out and I was getting inundated with phone calls. But I use Google Voice for my public number. It goes directly to voicemail. Nobody even answers it, but it transcribes the message and then it emails it to my assistant. And if it's something requiring my personal attention, which by the way is rare, she forwards a notification to me and asks me to follow up. So just take practical steps to limit your accessibility. I find that, again, the more you rise in leadership, the more this is going to be a necessity. Here's the 4th way, though, that you can limit your access as a leader, and that is make a list of common requests. Go through your email for the last few months and compile a list of recurring requests or comments. And what you're going to find, I promise, is that they fall into specific categories. For example, here's a short sample of a few of my categories and requests. I have people, for example, that write thanking me for my blog, or they noticed a typo on a blog post, or they want to know how they can advertise on my blog, or they ask if I would write a post about their product or their service or a WordPress plugin I'm using. Or sometimes I get requests about boards and investing, you know, what I consider serving on their board or what I consider investing in their company. Or sometimes authors will send to me requests about books, like would I read their proposal or a manuscript and give some feedback, or would I publish their manuscript or book, which I'm not in the publishing business anymore, so that's not going to happen, but people still write asking about it. Or could they send me a copy of their new book? And it goes on and on, especially meetings. You know, could they meet with me over coffee and pick my brain, or could they schedule a call with me to discuss some service that they want to talk about? So that's just a sample. But I've currently identified about 50 to 60 common requests. So what I'm suggesting here in this step is that you simply make a list of common requests. Then the fifth way to limit your accessibility is decide how you will respond to these requests. Now, this is a huge time saver. This, by the way, is worth this episode. Why keep reinventing the wheel? Craft a thoughtful response that really adds value and use it to point people in the right direction. And you can save your response as an email signature or use something like Typeinator. We actually use a customer support system called Rhino, which we love, which enables us to use canned responses. And my assistants typically customize those a little bit, warm them up on the front end. But we're giving the same information over and over. So it makes sure that the information is quality, really answers the question, and gives people real resources that they can use to get their questions answered. And it also takes some of the pain out of saying no. It enables you to do what I call decline with grace without going through the angst of each new request. And this is especially important if you're like me, a kind of recovering people pleaser, and you hate saying no. So I have an email signature for every one of these kind of common requests. I rarely have to use them because my assistants are handling most of this kind of mail now, but it's a great tool for training people who work for you. So that's the fifth way to limit access, is to decide how you will respond to these requests. Number six, delegate to people you trust. You don't have to do it all. If you're like me, you may say yes, but then regret it. However, if you can have someone on your team act as a buffer, it helps tremendously. This gives you the space you need to be more thoughtful and more priority-driven in your decisions. And in addition, people on your team are often better equipped to help the person making the request. Or at the very least, they can point them to the resources they need without your involvement. And either way, the person making the request is well served. Now, it's also a great opportunity to train your people by allowing them to shoulder the load. So don't miss this training and development opportunity. You don't have to do it all. Seventh way to limit your access is to accept the fact that you will be misunderstood. You know, this may be the most important thing I can say to you, but don't be surprised when it happens. People often feel entitled. Some people will try to shame you. I had this happen just a couple of weeks ago from a guy that was an acquaintance, and he got a response from my assistant, and then he wrote back and he said, you know, well, I guess you're too important to respond to me yourself. You have to have your assistant do it. And other people are going to talk about you behind your back. Well, look, either way, don't worry about it. There's nothing you can do to stop them. There are just some things that other people won't understand until they've walked in your shoes. So trying to convince them otherwise only further depletes your limited resources and gets you off track. So my advice, as difficult as it may be, is simply to ignore them. This just comes with the territory. If you're going to be a leader, you're going to be misunderstood, and that's okay. Now, if all of this is a struggle for you, that's a good sign. Honestly, it is. It means you have a good heart. But it's going to take more than that to succeed over the long haul. You're also going to need some wisdom, some courage, some practical strategies to limit your accessibility in order to stay focused on your priorities and fulfill your calling. So let me leave you with this question. Are you struggling with success and accessibility? Do you feel overwhelmed? How are you going to manage it? Let me invite you to leave a comment at michaelhyatt.com/091, or just 91 as in episode 91. I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to have a further conversation about this.
You have a killer book idea?
The real secret to securing that well-deserved contract is knowing how to write a powerful and compelling book proposal that will leave agents begging to represent you
and publishers eager to sign you.
Michael Hyatt, former chairman and CEO of Thomas Nelson Publishers, New York Times published best-selling author, former literary agent, and publisher, shares his simple and easy-to-follow formula. Writing a winning nonfiction book proposal and writing a winning fiction book proposal are ebooks devoted to authors who are looking to take their book writing journey to an entirely new level. So what are you waiting for? That dream book contract is within your reach. MichaelHyatt.com/book proposal.
MichaelHyatt.com/book proposal.
Each book comes with no questions asked 100% money back guarantee. So what have you got to lose?
Now let's turn to our listener Q&A segment. Eric wrote in and said, I agree with the concept of limiting my accessibility. However, I love the philosophy Bob Goff lives by regarding being more available, and this seems to be how Jesus lived. I know we may not be comparing apples to apples, but what are your thoughts on being more available than being less available? Great question. And what he's referring to, my friend Bob Goff in his book, Love Does, terrific book, by the way, you should read it. But in the very back of it, he puts his cell phone number. And to me, it comes down to a question of available to whom. I don't have the same obligation to the masses that I do to my family, my work associates, or those I mentor. And I'm not really, you know, sure what Bob's philosophy on that. You know, maybe it works for him. If it does, great, but it doesn't work for me. You know, it doesn't scale. And what I don't want to do is be guilty of taking time away from the people that need me most and the people that I do have an obligation to give time to the masses or people that are just casual acquaintances. And, you know, since Eric invoked Jesus in this, let me just speak to that. Jesus was very select too. You know, he gave more time to the 3 and to the 12 and even to the 70 than he did to the masses. So there was even a hierarchy on his own accessibility. And that's really helped me as I've thought through this. Jeff wrote in and said, how can you say no when people sometimes write in with such desperate needs? I have a really difficult time saying no to those especially. Well, Jeff, I feel your pain. I mean, some of the emails that I receive, you know, are gut-wrenching. You know, people are bearing their soul, and I'm thankful that they feel the freedom to do that. But honestly, I'm not the best source for that. They may need to go to a counselor or a therapist or their pastor or somebody else. And I wished I could meet those needs. I wish there was more of me to go around, but there's not. And I don't have to kind of get in this concept where I think I'm the Messiah. I'm not the only answer to their problems. I'm not the only solution to the problems that they face. There are plenty of other people that are out there. So I try my best to point them in the right direction, but I don't feel the obligation to answer every single request or to try to help every person. That would drive me crazy trying to do that, and it would just result in burnout. Jean wrote in with a great question. She said, I can appreciate where you're coming from, and I do not want to assume, but if you always abide by these guidelines and live within your inner circle, is there a chance you may be missing something or someone on the Z list? I'm a business owner and completely relate to what you're saying. Yes, I do try to find a few hours of my week to be open to new people, invites, or opportunities. It's staying on track, but open enough to allow for growth. Well, yeah, I mean, definitely you're going to miss opportunities, and I'm just comfortable with that. I mean, honestly, I have more opportunity than I can shake a stick at. I don't need more opportunity. I need more focus. I need more time. I need more concentration. I need more time where I can really deliver on what I've already committed to. So, you know, I'm meeting new people all the time, and I guess I assume that if it's something that I really need to see, that eventually it's going to bubble up and it's going to get through my system and I'll see it. But other than that, I'm okay to miss a few opportunities. You know, I've got plenty. I don't need more opportunities. So this is different in the early part of your career than it probably is for somebody who's in my situation today. So there are different strategies for different times in your career, and that's okay. Donnie wrote in and said, I've said yes to someone that I now have no interest in having coffee with. Any advice on how to get out of these things? Donnie, I would say that if you've given your word to it, I would go ahead and take your lumps and have the meeting. You know, for me, I'm not going to back out of something I've given my word to. You might ask them or tell them that, you know, you thought you had time, but you don't have time now. but I think that's pretty dicey. I think I'd go ahead, follow through, and then purpose that you're going to have a different strategy going forward. Shannon, having heard me talk about this topic before, wrote in and said, I was wondering if you could share some of the signatures or scripts that you use to respond to those seeking your time. I get the same types of requests all the time and find myself saying yes to meetings before my brain has time to process what that truly means. And by the way, I still face that when I'm out in public. You know, it's very difficult for me. To create that buffer and to tell people to send me an email or whatever, so that I've got a little bit of distance and don't just say yes on the spot. Anyway, Shannon continues. She said, for example, a financial advisor called me yesterday and I said yes to a lunch meeting. I know all too well how this meeting will go, and also know it will not be beneficial to me on either a professional or personal level. I have yet to grasp the tactful way of saying no and could use some examples to help me in creating my own scripts or signatures. Yeah, I've got in the show notes a link to a post I wrote a while back called Using Email Templates to Say No with Grace. And as I explained in the episode, I now use canned responses and a piece of software called Rhino Support. But you can do this with email signatures, and it's awesome. If you're doing it yourself, that's a great way to do it. And just follow the link in the show notes to that post. I give the exact examples, the exact language that I use. Feel free to rip that off or modify it or improve it. Okay, last question from Dan. He says, okay, so this really hits me because saying no is a hard thing for me to say, and I find it difficult to follow up sometimes. The biggest challenge I find is pulling out the scope card on a client that pays us for value. In fact, right now I'm dealing with one decision maker at a client that is not happy because I told him scrubbing their marketing list is out of the scope for our IT company. The client organization is so dysfunctional that I have come to the conclusion that there is no amount of effort I can expend to make them happy because it really isn't us. It still weighs heavily on me though, because I'm a high I on the DISC scale and I love to please and create value for our clients. How do you flush your mind to this and keep focused on continuing to serve your other and future clients well? God has given me strength, but it's a tough decision to make as a leader. Well, Dan, it is a tough decision to make as a leader. And I think you just got to accept the fact that you're going to be uncomfortable in these situations regardless of what you decide. It's just a question of who you want to be uncomfortable with, the client or your own people, including your family, by the way. And unfortunately, you just can't make everyone happy. Well, that's all the time we have for questions this week. If you'd like to ask me a question, go to michaelhyatt.com/question. You can either leave me a voicemail or email me with your question. Either way, I'll do my very best to respond. Again, go to michaelhyatt.com/question to leave a message. I'll be back right after the break with an announcement and my tip of the week.
Thinking of starting your own blog, but worried that your technical know-how is not up to scratch?
The good news is that starting blogging has never been easier.
Michael shares his knowledge with you for free and will show you that 20 minutes is all it takes to have your own blog up and running.
This is John D. Harrison from johndharrison.com. I started out with a free WordPress site, and if I would have applied your advice, started out with a self-hosted site, I really could have saved myself a lot of headaches. Self-hosted definitely is the way to go, and your screencast is the easiest way I know to make that happen.
Join Michael and follow his quick and easy step-by-step video tutorial at michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup.
Take action now and start blogging today.
michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup.
All right. Well, my business partner, Ken Davis, and I will be hosting the SCORE Conference May 5 through 8, right around the corner, at the beautiful Rosen Plaza Hotel in Orlando, Florida. And whether you're a professional speaker, or you just want to be, or maybe you just want to improve your communication ability, this conference will teach you how to prepare with focus, deliver with confidence, and speak with power. Honestly, this conference has had a bigger impact on my career than any other single conference I've ever attended. I use it every day. It's revolutionized my speaking. It's influenced every aspect of my communication, including my blogging and my podcasting. And if you're serious about becoming a better speaker, you simply must attend. However, we've just got a handful of tickets left. This is going to sell out. It does every single time. So if you're interested in attending, you're going to need to reserve your spot now. I recommend today. You can find out more at scoreconference.tv. Now, let me leave you with one final tip. Do you listen to music while you work? I do. Whenever I'm trying to create or I'm trying to focus, I try to listen to background music that enables me to do that in a better, more focused way. And I recently found a service that's been hugely helpful to me called Focus at Will. And the URL for that is in the show notes, which will take you right there. It's not free, but you can try it for free. But it basically is based on neuroscience, the music that will increase your attention span, help you zone out distractions, and really enable you to get more done. I've been more productive, more efficient, and I think more effective since I've been using it. So I would just encourage you to check it out. If you like good music, this is the kind of music that doesn't distract you, but really is just in the background and is scientifically proven to enhance your focus and your concentration. Well, that's it for this episode of This Is Your Life. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please show the love by going to michaelhyatt.com/love and tweeting a link to the show. And I'd be so grateful if you do that. That'll help us get the word out. If you'd like to rate my podcast or leave a review on iTunes, you can go to michaelhyatt.com/iTunes. That link will take you right to the review box and you can just rate it. You can leave a review, or preferably you can do both. I'd be grateful if you do that. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count. This is your